Hey, so a number of years ago when I first started going to church, I was with a church in another part of the city, and we had some friends that we would hang out with, and one night we decided to go out to dinner, and we ended up at, like, I think it was a steak and ale. Remember steak and ale? It was actually pretty good until the end, and it's kind of, it's not good. But we went to steak and ale, and I'll never forget being in that room at the time when we walked in. It was late in the evening, and my wife and I were there and didn't have any kids, and we were sitting down, and as we sat down, we noticed there was a bottle of wine on the table. The couple we were with, we knew they were very connected to the church. We knew that they were very kind of church people. And as soon as we sat down, the server is handing our menus, and the man at the table picks up the bottle of wine and slams it on the table next to him and goes, "We're Christians and we don't need this on the table." And I sat there and went, "What? I'm in trouble." So all of a sudden, I'm sitting there going, okay, so he's doing that. And the person who was seating us said, "Oh, okay, no problem, your server will be with you in a moment." He goes, no, you can take this now. And I, at this point, my wife is like holding onto my leg and she's pulling on me. And I'm going, I'm just trying to hold it back. And I'm going, this is not good. And I'm telling you, in that moment, I was actually ashamed of being a follower of Jesus. Now, and I'm just telling you, in my daily, everyday world, a lot of times I run across people who will ask me questions like, "What do you do for a living?" And I got to tell you, there are times when I meet with people for the first time and they ask me what I do for a living, I have to tell you, there are sometimes that I want to lie. I've never done it. I've never lied about it. But there's sometimes I want to, because I could be having a great conversation with someone and all of a sudden they ask the question, "Hey, what do you do?" And I'll tell you, here's what happens. And I'll go, "Well, I'm a pastor of a church." And the conversation either goes one of two ways. Either it does this, and the person becomes this hyper-spiritual, super-uber Christian, and it's like, "Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, we're excited," right? "Everybody, every church needs a young man of God like you." And they've got this voice that's kind of weird. It kind of comes out of nowhere, and you're just kind of going, okay, Or, second thing happens, and the person will look at you and go, "Oh, okay." And then the conversation just tanks. I mean, it just drops to the floor, and you're thinking, I'm not really sure why, but there's just something about it. And there's times when I just go, I don't want to tell you what I do for a living, because I don't want the conversation to go downhill. I don't want it to go down. And from that point, it feels like there's this wall that just kind of goes up between us. And here's why. Because most people, and you're probably in this same boat, most people want to avoid religion as much as possible. Now, in fact, for some of you today, you were dragged here by a friend. You, for whatever reason, you lost a bet. Maybe your wife said, to you as a husband, you're like, "You got to show up to church. It's 9/11. It's the 10th year anniversary. Come on. You got to go to church. Everybody goes to church on September 11th. And you're thinking, okay, I don't want to do this. Fine, I'll go. If you stop bugging me, leave me alone, and I'll finally go." And you're thinking, when you get to lunch, you can't wait to tell them, "Okay, I went. Don't ask me again." And I'm with you. I get it. And here's why. The reason you would say, "I'm not really a church person," or "I don't really like church a lot," is you would say this: "I'm just not a religious person. I'm not a church person. I don't even know if I believe in all of that stuff." And the reason that you may feel that way is maybe, watch this, it's maybe because the way God has been represented to you, that you've seen religion and you don't want to step into that world. You don't want to become religious, and you've seen what religious people can do, and you think, "I do not want to be that person. I mean, I don't want, just as far as I'm concerned, that's okay, you have that. If that works for you, that's great." And unfortunately, here's what we often do, and this is so common. Sometimes we'll put God and religion in the same boat and throw both of them out. And the problem is, God's going, "I wasn't a part of that. It wasn't my idea. I mean, my name got dragged through the mud on that one." And here's the thing. You need to resist the temptation to disbelieve or to throw God out of the equation just because of what you've seen someone do in the name of religion. Because religion, at its core, at who the very foundation of religion is, will cause you to do some very, very strange things. Now, before we go into this any more deeply, I want to make something extraordinarily clear. God did not send His Son, Jesus, His sinless, Lamb of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins when He died on the cross. God did not send Jesus Christ into the world to make you religious. He did not come so that you would have a religious routine by which you operate on a day-to-day basis. In fact, and this is so cool, the root word for religion, it literally means a return to bondage. The root word for religion means bondage. And I'm just telling you, Jesus did not come to make us religious, to take us into bondage. Jesus came to make us free. And here's the deal. At its very core, Christianity is not really even a religion. Christianity, at the very core of what it is a relationship with the living God. And God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to reveal Himself to us so that we could know Him and we could ultimately be transformed by Him. See, at the core of this faith, at the core of this thing that we call Christianity, it is not a religion. I'm telling you, it's a relationship. Today we're starting this series called Toxic, and I'm really, really excited. And it's appropriate today that we're kicking off this series with the topic of toxic religion. Especially on the 10-year anniversary of a day when a bunch of guys got in an airplane and said, if I do this, God's going to like me more. If I kill all these people, God's going to love me more. I'm going to have a better standing with God. So for today, we're going to jump into this concept of toxic religion. But before I do that, let's get just a working definition. We're going to do this for 5 weeks, talk about toxic, different toxic things. So we're going to get a working definition for the word toxic. We'll put it up on the screen. Here's what toxic is. Toxic is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing serious sickness or even death. Let me say that again. Something that is toxic is anything containing poisonous material capable of causing serious sickness or even death. And I'm just telling you, so many of us are silently being poisoned by stuff, all these sorts of things that we experience in our world from day to day, things that are toxic. Let me tell you kind of where we're going over the next couple of weeks, and then you can decide if you want to come back next week. I'm really excited to share what the Bible has to say about each one of these subjects. Next week, you're going to want to come back. I think you'll probably enjoy it because we're going to be looking at something that happens inside of us. We're going to look at something called toxic thoughts. It's those things that you say to yourself. It's when you look in the mirror and you go, you know what, if you could just do this, or if you just, only if you try that, or if you just get away from doing that, or you're so bad, you're a loser, you can never lose that weight, you can never gain that weight, you'll never be who you really want to aspire to be. Those things that we think inside that have the potential to make our souls sick and to damage us. We're also going to look at toxic friendships or toxic relationships because so many of us have relationships that are actually destroying and harming our relationship with each other and our relationship with God. And so we're going to look at how we can manage those relationships according to the Bible. Then we're going to look at toxic words, stuff that we listen to and words that we speak. Words can either create life or words can create death, depending on how you speak them. And for many of us, we're living in a toxic environment where words are just destroying us and taking us down and maybe even taking down the potential to have faith. Or even if you have a faith, then it could be destroying your faith. And then last week, we're going to tick everybody in the room off. We're going to make everybody mad. I'm going to tell you right now, go ahead and show up. If you don't show up another time, just come in 5 weeks and we're going to make everybody. We're an equal opportunity offender. We're gonna just be frustrated. You're gonna walk out of here and go, Jason, God, he thinks he, you know, and I'm with you, I get it. But on that last series, we're gonna do something called toxic influences. And it's the idea that there are things in our world that we experience all the time that just get inside of us. Things like the stuff that we watch, things that are on the movies, things that are in music, all the stuff that just get into our soul and begin to change us and damage who we are. But today we're gonna kick off this issue, this idea of toxic religion, because if there's anything causing all kinds of spiritual sickness around the world today, I'm just telling you, it's toxic religion. And toxic religion is this: it's simply the purity of the message of God perverted and polluted by rules and regulation. Polluted and perverted by religion. It's the purity of the message of God. It's the fact that Jesus Christ came and died on a cross, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was buried in the ground, rose from the grave. It's the purity of that message that has been just caked on with stuff left and right And it's the pollution that causes religion to be toxic. And if you have a Bible, I want us to take a look at what Jesus said about religion. You're going to love this, and about religious people. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me to the book of John. If you don't have a Bible, I get that. We can put it up on the screen for you in just a second. But what we'd love to do is have you take a look at your own scripture if you have a copy and just kind of read along with us. And as you're turning there, let me tell you what Jesus is about to do. Really kind of a neat thing. He's talking to his disciples. He's kind of going through some conversations with them. And these are the 12 guys who decided to leave their lives as they knew it to follow this guy Jesus, this teacher. They decided to live with him, to eat with him, to sleep on the same ground with him, to listen to Jesus, to basically, here's what they were learning. They were learning to be like Jesus. And these guys are following Jesus. And Jesus, watch this, he turns to them at this point while he's teaching them, and he begins to warn them about the problem with religion. Some of you this morning are going, you know what, I picked the right Sunday to come to church because I've never heard a pastor say, don't be religious. Well, you're going to hear that this morning, left and right. John chapter 16, verse 1, here's what Jesus said. I'll kind of comment as we go. He said, all this, in other words, what he said so far, just kind of the way he's teaching his disciples and how he's teaching them how to live in the world according to his principles and his values, all of this I have told you, that's the followers of Christ, I've told you so that you will not go astray. This is where Jesus is kind of warning his disciples. He's warning them. He's saying, look, there's some stuff that's going to happen. And when it does, I don't want you to be surprised. I don't want you to kind of like get caught off guard and go, oh my goodness, what just happened? I mean, Jesus wasn't who he really said he was, because if he was, he would have told us this stuff. Jesus would have kind of warned us, right? So we're not really sure. Jesus goes, no. I want you to know there are some things that are going to happen. Listen to what Jesus said is going to happen. Verse 2. He says, he's talking about religious people or religious leaders, they will put you out of the synagogue. In other words, you're going to do some things as my followers that are going to offend all of the religious people. All of the religious people, and they're going to throw you out of their buildings. They're going to throw you out of the synagogues, but it'll get worse. Here's how bad it's going to get, Jesus would say. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you, now that's extreme, will think that he is offering a service to God. In other words, Jesus says, let me tell you how bad it's going to get. Let me tell you how religion is such a deviant thing, that religion can go in so many weird directions all at once, that these religious people are going to think that when they kill you, that God is giving them brownie points. Religious people are going to think that they're doing something and God's up in heaven going, great, you did a great job. Now listen, 10 years ago today, we would have read that in America and we'd have said, religion's really not going to kill anybody. Religious ideology is not going to kill anybody. But now we live in a culture where every week we read about people losing their lives to religious fanatics. We read about people that are blowing up cars or blowing themselves up or strapping bombs onto different people and sending them into crowds and just blowing people up because they think that God is in heaven or wherever he's at. And he's going, great, you killed her. Good job. Great, you killed four of them. You just took out a whole building. Congratulations. I'm very, very pleased. Because see, that's what Jesus said. He goes, that's religion. And that place, it'll take you into a place that you never wanted to go. And so don't be surprised when that begins to happen. Because ultimately, that's where religion goes. But listen to why he said religion can be so dangerous. Listen to the next verse, verse 3. They, talking about the religious leaders, they will do such things. They'll put you out of the buildings. They'll kick you out. They'll kind of throw you away from the rest of the community. And they will kill you. They will do such things because they have not, what's the word? They have not known. That's a relationship word. That's not a religious word. That's a relational word. That they have not known the Father or me. See, Jesus said the reason that religious people do such strange things, the reason that religious people kind of go off on such strange tangents, the reason that the religious people seem to be so disconnected to reality, the reason that they can be one way on Sunday and then another way the rest of the week, the reason why the religious people can be so judgmental, and the reason it is so unlike what you think God is like is this. The reason religion is the way it is, it's real simple. It's because they have not known. It's a relationship. They have not known. They have not connected. They've not entered into this relationship that is considered intimate between God and themselves. They have not known the Father. And Jesus said, they have not known me. They've got all the form and the function, and they stand up and they sit down and the whole deal, but they've missed the essence of what this is really all about. And it's this, a personal relationship with the Father through the Son. So consequently, Jesus said, God is a stranger to religious people. For the religious person, even though they may say his name, Jesus is a stranger. And very quickly, religious people become a stranger to the ways of God. And they have an idea, think about it, they have an idea of how God ought to act. And when God doesn't act the way they think God should act, then they just decide, well, maybe there isn't a God. And all of a sudden, you kind of check out of the whole thing because God didn't act the way you thought he should act. And God's saying, I never promised to act that way. The problem is, you never knew me. You latched on to some statements that somebody said, but you really never, you never knew me. And consequently, most people are strangers to the ways of God, but it also makes them strangers to the love of God. That's why in some of your churches that you've been to in your life, you felt a lot of things, but one of them was not love. One of them was not love, and that was so confusing, so you checked out of that world, and who could blame you? Maybe your Heavenly Father had checked out of those environments a long time before. Because religious people of every faith will tell you that it's what you do, it's what you do, it's what you do that determines how well you're accepted by God. It's the external things that matter, not the internal. And your Heavenly Father comes along and he says, no, because it's not about what you do, it's about what I've done. And I'm calling you, God would say, into a relationship with me. And it's everything different than maybe what you've experienced in the past in your exposure to religion. Jesus says, that's why religious people will go to ridiculous extremes and think that they're pleasing God, because they don't know me and they don't know the Father. See, I'm just telling you, Jesus didn't come to make us religious, because he said religion can lead you to do some really crazy off-the-wall things. And God, Jesus would say this, I don't want to have a religion with you. I want to have a relationship with you. Listen, the most astounding truth in the universe is that our Creator wants to have an intimate relationship with us. That God, who kind of orchestrated this whole deal, who kind of painted the skies and hung the stars in place, that same God who created us says, I want to know you on an intimate, personal level. Because I really believe this. The Bible teaches that God made you in order to love you. God made you to love you, and he longs for you to love him back. And love, listen, love is a concept that is far from toxic religion. Love and religion don't mix. In fact, let me give you two ingredients real quick as we kind of wrap this up. Two ingredients that really lead to toxic religion. This is the first one. The first ingredient to toxic religion is a focus on the external more than a focus on the internal. Because all religion is about what you see. It's about what I do. It's all the external stuff. Religious people are more concerned with the way they look on the outside. I remember as a kid, if someone showed up to church in the church that I used to go to, in less than ideal clothes, people looked down on them. I've even heard people say, you may have heard this, I've even heard people say, probably well-meaning, but just listening to it just makes you cringe. I've heard people say, listen, when we go to God's house, we wear our best. We dress our best. To a person who doesn't have anything nice to wear, that's a dead end. To a person who's sitting back going, okay, all of a sudden I'm going, religion has pushed God at an arm's length and I can't get there. Why? Because I don't have the right clothes to wear. Listen, Jesus would never turn anyone away based on what they were wearing on the day. Jesus would have never said, you can't come any closer because you don't have any shoes on. I'm just telling you, here's the deal. If you're not religious, if you are religious, if you've got a lot of money, if you don't have a lot of money, if you wear the right labels, if you wear the wrong labels, if you wear no labels at all, whether you got black, blue, pink, purple, orange, yellow skin, it doesn't matter. If you're highly educated, if you're not educated at all, you are welcome here, you are welcome here, you are welcome here. And that's the church. You may say, look, I don't have any church clothes. I don't have anything to wear to church. Listen, the church at Oak Level has only one dress code. Please do. cover your stuff, okay? Just throwing it out there. Listen, Jesus is not about the externals. He's all about the internal. But when you slip into this mindset that's religion focused, it's all about the show. It's look at me and listen to me. And Jesus hated the religious stuff of the day. That is toxic religion, and that is turning people away from God when Christians misrepresent the purity of the message of the gospel. And it's extraordinarily destructive. See, toxic religion focuses on the external rather than the internal. Second ingredient or second thing that happens in spiritual toxic religion is this. Toxic religion promotes spiritual pride. It makes us feel like we're better than everyone else. We're right, and everyone else in the world is wrong. And this happens not just, you know, with church people, non-church people. It happens in churches. I mean, churches, many churches can't even get along with each other. You're one church talking about the other church's pastor, and the other church is bad-mouthing their people. I mean, why is it so many non-religious, non-Christian people despise Christianity? One of the reasons is because Christians can't even get along with each other and look down on everyone else. And we're all sitting back going, well, I wonder why they're not coming to church. Gee, you think? I got enough problems of my own at my house. Why do I want to go and have a problem at your house? It's this hypercritical, hypocritical, joyless, cynical, we're right, everyone else is wrong. I just want to make a statement publicly to you as the church. I want to tell you who we are as a church, Church at Oak Level. This is a public statement. We as a church are for other churches. Listen, if we have other churches in the community that criticize us, and we will, they already have, don't defend anything. We don't need to defend ourselves. We don't have to justify anything. We're going to be, as a church, we're going to be proponents for other churches. We're going to be for other churches. And as long as they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, as long as they preach the word, it doesn't matter about style. I mean, let's get over style. Things like, well, our pastor's an expository teacher, and that's the best way to go. No, it's not. Jesus didn't do that. Well, our pastor's topical, and that's the best way to do it. No, it's not. That's just a way. Well, we have organ music, and everybody knows organ music pleases God. No, it doesn't. That's just one way you can do it. Well, we have a live band, and that's the best. No, it's not. We dress our best. We dress casually. We do communion every week. We speak in tongues. Someone stole a Honda. I mean, come on. This is the deal. We're wrong. You're right. You're wrong. We're right. You know what? Get over style. Style and packaging doesn't matter. It's the message. It's the message. Don't you look down on anybody. Don't have religious, spiritual pride. If you believe, listen, if you believe in what God is doing here among us, great. But don't you dare think that this is the only way or the best way to do church. It's just a reflection of who we are, and it's a reflection of who God has called us to be. And we, as a church, are for other churches. Because toxic religion, I'm just telling you, toxic religion puffs up. It makes you think more of yourself than you really are. It makes you spiritually proud. Look at me. And the non-Christian world looks on and says, why would I want to be a part of such miserable, joyless, hypocritical people? Listen, Jesus didn't come to make us religious. He didn't come to take us back into bondage. Jesus Christ came to set us free, to give us a life that's full of joy, full of life, full of unity, full of love, full of compassion on others. Toxic religion, it poisons and it destroys. And Jesus said it's because religious people have not known relationship the Father, and they have not known relationship me. Listen, it's not based on what you've done. It's based on what Jesus has done on your behalf. That's why it's good news. That's why it's good news. Listen, that's why it's not religion. Jesus didn't come to make us religious and take us back into prison. Because here's the deal. Religion is all about me. Right? Religion is all about me. It's about who I am. Look at me. Pay attention to me. I'm the coolest thing that's on the planet. Okay? Religion's all about me. Relationship with Jesus is all about Him. Religion is all about my external actions. A relationship with Jesus is about His perfect work inside of me. You spell religion D-O. It's what you do that creates God's love for you. Relationship with Jesus is spelled D-O-N-E. It is done. It is finished. It is complete. And you need to know that. It's been paid for. Religion says this: if you work hard and you perform, then God might love you. Relationship says, I obey God because He loves me so much. See, a relationship with Christ says, I am who I am because of His goodness. But religion says, I'm trying to prove who I am by my performance. See, when you fall in love with Jesus, you begin to live a life that pleases Him. But it's not because you're trying to get God to like you. It's not because you're trying to get God to get you to come into heaven. When Jesus died on the cross, listen, everything that you'd ever done was all future. And somehow He died and paid for everything that you'd ever done. I don't know how that works. You say, well, Jason, can't you explain it? No, I'm a pastor and I don't have a clue how that works. There are some things that are mysteries and God handles that stuff. And I just trust that God did what He said He was going to do, and that's freed us from our sin. So when Jesus died on the cross, He said, I'm going to give you freedom. I'm not going to bring you back into religion. Toxic religion. It makes you this holier than thou. You know, I'm just greater. I'm more spiritually, you know, wise. Or I've got better knowledge. Hypercritical, hypocritical person. And listen, I'm just telling you, people hate religious people. That's why they call them hypocrites. That's why a lot of times you say, I'm not going to church, because that place is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Hypocrites, play actors, because it's all an outward show. But listen, for real people, I mean authentic people who are willing to admit that they have a real need. You know what? I'm messed up. If God's perfect and I'm not, and it's up to me to get to God, I can't fix my imperfection. I can't be good enough to fix my imperfection. I've got to do something with my imperfection. Here's what God did. God goes, I know you can't do anything about it. That's why I sent my Son to die for that. You can't be perfect. You are a sinner. And when you admit that and embrace that as a real person, all of a sudden you become a candidate for God's grace. And when you're authentic and you're transparent of your deep need, genuine need, it's so refreshing. I'm just telling you, and it's far from religion, because Jesus didn't come to make you religious. He didn't come to take you back to a performance-based bondage in religion. He came to set you free. So the ultimate invitation of Christianity is not even to join a church or to sign the bottom row of the church or to become a member of some place. It's not even to join a religion, because Christianity at its core is not a religion. It is a relationship with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ, empowered and made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm just telling you, when you get that, you'll never be the same. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that this morning there